Nobody teaches you how to be scared of a windsock. It just kind of happens. You're a student pilot. You've got maybe 15 hours. You're finally starting to grease a few landings on a calm morning, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Then one afternoon, the wind comes up. You turn final, and the airplane is pointed off to the side of the runway like it's mad at it. Your instructor says, "Okay, your airplane," and suddenly every good landing you ever made feels like an accident. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the crosswind landing, because if there is one thing that rattles students, humbles certificated pilots, and shows up in more check ride debriefs than almost anything else, it's putting an airplane down on the ground when the wind is not coming straight down the runway. Let's walk through this together. Before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. And I'll be honest with you, that first solo coin means something, because you earned it in an airplane that was trying to drift off the centerline the whole way down. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's start with why the crosswind landing is hard. Because I don't ever want to tell you something is easy when it isn't. The airplane flies through a mass of air. That air is moving. When the wind is coming from the side, that moving air pushes your airplane sideways across the ground, even though the airplane itself is flying just fine through the air. So you've got two things happening at once. You're flying forward through the air, and the whole block of air you're flying through is sliding sideways over the runway. If you do nothing about it, you touch down drifting sideways. And an airplane is not built to touch down moving sideways. The landing gear wants to roll straight ahead. When the wheels touch while the airplane is crabbing or drifting, the tires screech, the airplane lurches, and in the worst case, a main gear digs in and you get a side load that can collapse a strut or start a swerve. You're now fighting on the ground. That's the whole problem in one sentence. The airplane must be moving straight down the runway and pointed straight down the runway at the moment the wheels touch. There are two ways pilots handle the crosswind on approach. And here's where a lot of the confusion lives, so stay with me. The first is the crab on final. You turn the nose into the wind just enough that the airplane tracks straight down the extended center line. The nose is cocked off to the side, but your ground track is perfect. It's comfortable, it's coordinated, the ball is centered, and passengers in the back never feel a thing. The crab is a beautiful way to fly the approach. The second is the side slip, and this is the one we also call wing low. You lower the upwind wing with aileron, and you hold the nose straight down the runway with opposite rudder. The airplane is now flying slightly sideways through the air on purpose. The lowered wing counteracts the drift, the rudder keeps the nose aligned, and you're set up to land. Here's the thing you have to understand, and it's the thing that trips people up. You can fly the whole approach in a crab if you want, it's easier, and it's smoother. But you cannot land in a crab. At some point before the wheels touch, the airplane has to be aligned with the runway, and the drift has to be killed. So every crosswind landing, no matter how you fly the approach, ends the same way. It ends in a side slip. Upwind, wing down, nose straight. One main wheel touching first. So the real question isn't crab versus slip. The real question is when do you make the switch? And that right there is the single most common mistake I see. Students kick out the crab too soon. Here's what happens. You've been taught correctly that you can't land in a crab. So somewhere around 300 feet, you get nervous about it, you stomp the rudder to straighten the nose, and now you've got a decision to make that you're not ready for. You're a quarter mile out, low but not landing, and the airplane immediately starts drifting toward the downwind side because nothing is stopping the drift anymore. So you bank into the wind to stop it, and now you're doing a full side slip for 15-20 seconds while you float down final, fighting to hold it, arms and legs getting tired. And by the time you're over the numbers, you're exhausted and over-controlling, and the landing falls apart. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. You do not have to transition early. Fly the crab down final. Stay comfortable. Stay coordinated. Keep tracking that center line. And then in the roundout, as you're leveling off just above the runway and bleeding off speed, that's when you smoothly transition to the wing low side slip. Lower the upwind wing, walk the nose straight with rudder, and hold it into the flare. You're only in the slip for a few seconds, right when it matters, right when you have the most control authority and the least time to get tired. Let me say that again because it's the whole segment, crab down final, slip in the flare. Touchdown on the upwind main first. Now let's talk about the touchdown itself, because this is where the second big mistake shows up. In a proper crosswind landing, you do not touch down on both main wheels at the same time, and you definitely don't touch down flat on all three. You touch down on the upwind main wheel first. Then as the airplane slows and the wing loses lift, the downwind main settles on. And then the nose wheel comes down last. Upwind main, downwind main, nose wheel, in that order. Students want to level the wings just before touchdown because it feels wrong to land on one wheel. Everything in your body says the wings should be flat, but if you level the wings, you stop stopping the drift and you touch down sideways in the last half second. So you have to trust it. Hold that upwind wing down through the touchdown. Land on one wheel on purpose. And here's the part that almost nobody tells students clearly. You're not done flying when the wheels touch. The airplane is still fast, the wing is still making lift, and the wind is still blowing. As you slow down on the rollout, the wind has more and more effect on you, not less. So you keep adding aileron into the wind as you decelerate. By the time you're at taxi speed, the aileron should be all the way into the wind, full deflection. There's an old saying, climb into the wind, dive away from it, meaning aileron into the wind on the upwind side, and elevator neutral to forward as you slow. The point is the flight controls don't go to sleep when you land. You fly the airplane until it's tied down. Let's put some numbers on this because the check ride is going to. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, is the document your examiner is grading you against. For the private pilot normal and crosswind landing task, the standard asks you to touch down at a proper pitch attitude within 400 feet beyond a specified point with no side drift and with the airplane's longitudinal axis aligned with and over the runway centerline. Read those last two parts again. No side drift aligned with the centerline. That is the ACS telling you in plain language that a crosswind landing that touches down crabbed or drifting is a bust, even if it's smooth, even if nothing breaks. The examiner is looking for a few specific things. They want to see that you maintain your approach speed and control your descent. They want to see coordinated use of aileron and rudder, which on a crosswind landing means the controls are doing two different jobs. Aileron holding the wing down and rudder holding the nose straight, cross-controlled on purpose. They want to see you touch down on the upwind wheel, and they want to see you keep flying it on the rollout with the correct control inputs. And they want to see your judgment about whether the landing is safe at all. That last one matters. Every airplane has a demonstrated crosswind component in the pilot's operating handbook. Now listen carefully, because this is a common misunderstanding. The demonstrated crosswind component is not a limitation. It's the strongest crosswind a test pilot happened to land the airplane in during certification. It doesn't mean the airplane can't do more, and it doesn't mean you can. What it means is, if the wind is at or beyond that number, you are now the test pilot, and you'd better be sure of yourself. On a check ride, the examiner would much rather see you say, "The crosswind is beyond what I'm comfortable with today. Let's use a different runway or wait it out," than watch you salvage a landing that was never going to work. Which brings me to the most important tool you have, and it costs nothing, the go-around. Here's the scenario. You're on short final, the wind gusts, the airplane balloons up and drifts, you're crossed up, you're out of aileron, and the centerline is sliding out from under you. This is the moment, not the moment to fix it, the moment to leave. Power up, pitch for climb, flaps in stages, and go around. Fly the pattern, come back, try it again with what you just learned. There is no prize for forcing a bad crosswind landing onto the ground. I have never once regretted a go around. I have absolutely regretted the landings I tried to save. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. A go-around isn't a failure of the landing. It's the successful execution of a decision on the check ride. A well-flown go-around from a bad crosswind setup will help you, not hurt you, because it shows the examiner exactly the judgment they're hoping to find. Let me give you a couple of practical things to take on your next flight. First, practice in the crab-then-slip sequence deliberately. Next calm-ish day with a light crosswind, fly the approach in a crab and consciously make the transition in the roundout. Say it out loud in the cockpit. Crab, roundout, slip, upwind wing. It sounds silly, it works. You're building a habit pattern and the words keep you from kicking it out too early. Second, spend some time on the ground learning the wind. Before you ever taxi, look at the automated weather, the ATIEs or the AWOS, and figure out the crosswind component in your head. If the runway is 360 and the wind is from 040, that wind is 40 degrees off your nose, so a little more than half of it is crosswind. You don't need perfect trigonometry, rule of thumb, 30 degrees off is about half the wind is crosswind. 45 degrees is about 70%, 60 degrees or more. Treat almost all of it as crosswind. Do that math on the ground, every time, until it's automatic. The examiner will ask, third, and this is the one people skip, practice the rollout. Everybody practices the touchdown and then relaxes. Make yourself keep adding aileron into the wind all the way to taxi speed on every single landing, crosswind or not. Build the habit when it's easy so it's there when it's hard. Let me leave you with the shape of the whole thing. So, it sticks. The crosswind never goes away on final. It just moves from your hands to your feet and back again. Crab keeps you comfortable on the way down. The slip aligns you at the bottom, one wheel touches first, and you fly it until it stops. Get those four beats in order and the windsock stops being something to fear and starts being just another piece of information. The reference for all of this is the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards, and I genuinely encourage you to go read the crosswind section for yourself because it's clearer than most people expect. You can find more from the show over at RadioHangar.com. Go find a breezy afternoon and a long runway with a good instructor beside you. That's how you beat this one, not by avoiding the wind, but by going out and flying in it on purpose. I'll see you in the pattern.